We're going to get into chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. So, Lord, I know is here, and there's just, it's inexhaustible, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters. And it is so, again, mighty what the Lord continues to reveal to hearts that truly have a desire to know Him. And it's endless, and again, by His grace, it just continues to get sweeter. But there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Brother Schofield calls this the vindication of Paul's apostleship. And I think it's very appropriate that it's said that way. But I also believe that this is just, again, his claim to such grace that has been bestowed in his life, that is poured out, that, again, it's God's work and God chose him. It's God's work. God chose you. And we're going to rejoice with this dear brother tonight, knowing that we're following Brother Paul as he followed Jesus Christ. All right, in verse 1 it says, "Now I, Paul, myself." And this is so precious because Paul is now going after them. "I, Paul, myself." In these prior chapters, many of it was encouraged with Timothy. Many of it was encouraged with other brothers, and I'm sure sisters of like faith. But right now, this is the Lord, oh God, just pouring through this sweet brother. How personal, intimate, and loving this is becoming. But he says, "I myself beseech you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, by the meekness and gentleness of God." Christ. And that is the proof that the Lord is behind this. This is the proof that this truly is an apostle. He's not doing it for himself. He's not doing it of himself. And praise God, if there's any gentleness or meekness that you'll ever get, it's going to be the Lord's. And I'm so thankful again for that. The love of God that's established in our life. The love of God that continues to pour forth in a life that again will yield itself to God. And you know, brothers and sisters, a lot of people seem to be harsh in this day and age, but I will testify to the grace of God and His mighty work. I know and am living proof that the love of God can tender your heart. And it can, and it will. As we open up, He will give us His love. He'll give us His love, not a love, but His love that will love beyond, through, and it's just so wonderful how, again, it just loves. It doesn't select who it's going to love. It loves without hypocrisy. It just loves. And praise God, that is God's love. And again, this is this gentleness and meekness that was pouring through this dear brother. And going on here, it says, "Beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you." This brother Paul is saying, in presence, I'm base among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. Now, in this, I think it's so precious to notice that even the presence of Brother Paul was Christ-like. And I'd like us to take a moment, because I do think it's important to always go back to understand there was no beauty to behold of Jesus Christ physically. And it reminds me so much of sweet Brother Hill, as he would always bring that out. There they have all these pictures and paintings, and it looks like a lady with a beard and a mustache on her. And it really does, because she's so fair and she's so perfect. I want you to go to Isaiah 53, and we're going to read about our wonderful Lord. And we're going to read about the real beauty of our wonderful Lord in just a few verses here. It's all throughout His wonderful Word. But if we go to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2, now let's think about this. And this is so important, I think, that we grasp. And this is such a place that Paul had been given. There wasn't anything attractive about Paul. He was something that was pitiful. He was something that was very despised. He was something in Galatians 4, you'll see, that it talks about that he had poor vision. I was kind of chuckling to myself. I don't know if you ever remember the little cartoon about Mr. Magoo. And, you know, he'd bump along and people, you know, would always kind of just, you know, lay him away that way. But then it goes on with Brother Paul, talks about those thorns in the flesh that he had, the thorn in the flesh. And many have thought that he physically was unattractive, that he might have had a disease of skin. There's different thoughts of all these things. But let's read about our Lord and see how precious this is in verse 2 of chapter 53 of Isaiah. For he shall grow up, speaking of our wonderful Lord, before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I'll tell you, you got to really understand who you are and how wicked and how much we would turn away but for this wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, again, you're never ever going to see the very beauty of God until you see his wonderful Son as the Lamb slain. Isn't that wonderful? You better see him as the Lamb slain. Praise God. That's how we're going to behold him there, and as it speaks of there in Revelation, the Lamb slain. Whew, it's just so wonderful that he became that sin for me upon that cross. That is the beauty. That's the love. See, I'm not loving something on the outward. I'm loving something so beyond, so gracious, so loving, so merciful, that he loved a wretch like me. So, praise be to God. Realize that, you know, if you do have something wrong with you, you might have just naturally entered in maybe with some of the sufferings with our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What do you think? He didn't make you the most beautiful person in the world. Well, praise God. How's that? How about being a little bit despised with him? What do you think of that? Rejected. There was no beauty that we would behold. So get that kind of thought. You can see, again, that's, I will tell you, that's the enemy's work. A lot of people say, oh, well, I like to look at the... It's not an image you're after. You don't want an idol. I'm telling you, you don't want an idol. And a lot of people will start putting that up. You want to know him. You want to know him. You're going to know him in this word. Hallelujah. I don't want to get bogged down on this, but it is important, absolutely important. But Brother Paul says, as he goes on here, but being absent, I am bold toward you. So again, maybe it was because of his appearance. Maybe it was because Brother Paul wasn't the eloquent speaker that maybe Apollos was. Did you ever think of that? God gave him a gift to write. God did give him a gift to speak at times too. But it was God's word that was being brought through him. This was a wonderful brother. This was a wonderful man that had many talents. But he allowed God to give him his talents. And here he is answering his critics right away in this first verse. And we're going to see it all the way through this 10th chapter. They were so against the things of God, if you think about this. They were so insecure that they had to pick upon his physical appearance. Think about how insecure people are. When people start picking on somebody's physical appearance, it's because they're insecure. And that's the truth. When you have to belittle somebody, it's because you're insecure. And that's the truth. And this is exactly where these folks were at. They weren't standing on the promises of God. They were trying to stand in their intellect. They were trying to stand upon their philosophies. And that wasn't going to happen. And so what did happen, though, was the Word of God convicted them. And it does. And it's either going to convict you to holiness and righteousness, or I'll tell you what, it's going to convict you of sin. It's going to convict you of a lot of different things. Praise God. But that's what that wonderful word does. It cuts. And as Brother Copley said, and there was a little statement I wrote down, it said, carnal Christians always misjudge real spirituality. And that's the truth. You think about what people are going after today. The sizzle. The flare. Seek me. Seek me. Hallelujah. So again, as the Word of God says, he looks upon the heart, even though man's always looking on the outside. Now verse 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So basically what he's saying here is, you know what, why don't you deal with these carnal ones before I get there? Let's get that out of the way. Be spiritual. But he knows that he's going to have to unload. I love Brother Paul. He's basically saying here, I'll unload upon them. The Lord will give me, the Spirit will make intercession for me to give them what they need. And I will deal with that and their accusations, as it says here, of me being for myself, of me being fleshly. But you know what? He's concerned with these sweet Christians, these sweet Corinthians. He said, you know what? Give me reason to rejoice. Be about the things of the Lord. Deal with this before I get there. Brothers and sisters, we do truly have to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. We do. Every day, all the time, with our thoughts. We're going to have a verse here in just a moment that says that every thought bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, not one lacking, but every thought. Now going on with verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, so though we're in this, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And this is so important again and again. Think how many times we have talked about this in Corinthians. He is the one that fights our battles. He's the one that fights for you. You have to realize who is at war for us. Praise God. I'm so thankful that I truly know that this body is weak. And this body truly is growing weaker every day. But I'm so thankful that I know that there is no power but of God. Do you realize that? See, people out here, you watch them on TV. I've never seen such pride in my life. How boastful people are. How they absolutely profess that they have all the answers. They have all the knowledge. But the thing I've noticed, they can't answer one thing, and all they do is pick on the other guy that's tried. And that's the truth. It's easy to be an armchair quarterback, isn't it? What do you think? Huh? Everybody's got 20/20 after the fact. And it's true. That's why I want to depend and I want to trust on the Lord. I don't want to put my confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils. I know Christians that are getting bent out of shape about, if the Lord tarry, this upcoming election. Well, what happens if so-and-so got in there? What happens if so? Well, you know what? God puts up whom he will and down whom he will. So I know that if God is going to direct this thing, praise be to God. And if it's the one he's going to use to wrap this thing up, praise be to God. And I'm serious. It just kind of accelerates the process. Hallelujah. I want to see him. I believe that we're about wanting and loving his appearing. So again, let's not get frustrated about those types of things. What a waste of time. And again, how many of God's people are caught up into things that are truly a waste of time? The Word tells us to redeem the time. Make it count. Absolutely make it count. Praise the Lord. I want to be building in my life precious stone. Lots of wood, hay, and stubble. And it's going to burn. I want the lasting by His grace. But again, we are so thankful that He's the one that fights for us. That the old devil is finished. That, praise God, how about this? When I am weak, you better watch out, because then I'm strong. I'm getting weaker. Praise God, you better watch out. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting stronger in Him. I'm realizing the all-powerful, the Almighty God. How much and how for me He is. Do you realize how much He is for you? Everything, praise God. Everything. He's all in, as we've talked about here over past Sundays. God is all in. He has no more to give. He's got His Son in it. I just marvel at that. I'm so thankful that I know that He completely loves me. He's completely committed to my welfare. Praise the Lord, I'm His son. Now, As it says in this verse here, the pulling down of strongholds. This is kind of fun as we enter into this. But again, Brother Paul, being encouraged by the Spirit, there was something that he was playing on words here. In Corinth, they have a very high hill. And it was about 2,000 feet high, they say. And on that hill was a great, mighty fortress, a military fortress. So he was playing on words a little bit, saying, it can pull down anything, but I'm going to tell you the great forces that it's really pulling down. And let's start to read these strongholds of verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing. Listen to this. That exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we need to have that cast down in our life. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. As I was reading this, brothers and sisters, this is speaking obviously of the fortress of the devil. And you'll notice here in this wonderful verse, all of the fortress of the devil has to do with the mind. It's the mind, and it is the mind. Imaginations, as it says here. That means philosophies, teaching, opposing Paul's gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:19 and 3:17 and 18, we had been through there. It sums it all up, and it says, become a fool that ye may be wise. Become a fool that we might be wise. You better know God's word. This world will only pull you away. Its thinkings will only rob you from God's best. And that is the truth. You think of all the reasonings and imaginations. And you know, the thing I love about what we're studying here, I think it is so appropriate to the day and the age that we face right now. You can see how man truly has never changed. It just keeps coming and coming, except the pride. Now again, I didn't live back here, but I'll tell you what, this pride, this arrogance, this, well, we know it all. At least these people were worshiping some gods or something. Now man's become the god. And you listen to these religions that are out there in today, and they say, I'm a god. And how many there are. And I'll say it, whether it's the Mormons, whether it's these Scientologists, and they're growing and they're gaining. There's a form of godliness, but I'm telling you, they're denying the power thereof, aren't they? Praise God that we know that power. And again, I just say thanks be to God that His word is so true. You want proof that this is real? Just read it and look at what society has become. They can't help but do the wickedness that God said that they would do. It lays it out perfectly. This word is true. It's been tried. They cannot help but do what God said that they would do. Back in the times of Egypt, into the times of today. And praise God, it looks like it's going to be wrapped up soon. But it goes on to say, every high thing. Whether it's pride, whether it's intellect, whether it's self-righteousness. In 1 Timothy 3:6, it tells us very clearly that pride is from the devil. And praise God, we're in a very evident battle. And the evident battle is not against flesh and blood. And see, the devil will always try, the enemy will always try to make us think that we are fighting one another. Trying to stir up the hatred. But in reality, we're not fighting one another. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We are fighting against man's reasoning, the high thoughts, anything that opposes itself against the knowledge of God. That's what we're fighting. That's what was going on here. Casting those things down, brothers and sisters. The things that cause us to doubt. What do you think about that? The things, and I really believe we'll be in that this Sunday, that cause us not to trust God. The things that don't allow us to put our confidence in God. We need to cast those things down. Those are the imaginations. Those are the philosophies. That is the high thing that God says will get in between me and the Lord and His will for my life. But praise God, He doesn't just leave us hanging, does he? Never does. How do we fight this? He says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How about having a mind that is stayed upon the Lord? Huh? When your mind is stayed upon the Lord, are you at perfect peace? I am. And you know what? It has to be. Because you know why? He promised it. It's when my mind begins to wander is when I fear. It's when my mind begins to doubt is when I have problems. That double-minded man, how he'll fall, how he'll fail. God, help me to believe upon you. There's a wonderful part of that warfare of the believer called the helmet of salvation. I love that. I think of that sweet helmet. I remember, and I'll tease my wife a little bit, when we first got married, she seemed to get in a lot of accidents. And my dad got her a helmet to get in the car with. But he was going to protect her. But see, that's a protection. It's a helmet. I think about my boys playing football. I think about these kids and all these, aware we are as a society to protect this head. But you know what? They're not protecting the mind. And the Lord says, let this mind be in you that was in me. As in me. And that's the helmet of salvation. Saves me from everything. Praise God. See, that's the peace that I'm learning. That's the peace that I'm dwelling in. That the storms may roll, the clouds come, the lightning strikes. I don't know. The earth might even shake and move. But hallelujah, I'm on the rock. I'm on that rock. And you know what? That rock don't move. Hallelujah. I'm just so gracious, grateful to the Lord, how gracious He is to me, to understand that His grace covers me. And when His grace covers me, you know what? He keeps my mind. I love that He keeps my thoughts. I've told you this many times before as a young person. I'm so thankful that my mom encouraged me. So I think of kids, how we get to fear in different things. It's a process. It's a growth. Understanding as Christians to trust the Lord. And I used to worry about mom and dad. I had a little older parents when I was a kid from other kids. And I used to think, oh Lord, what happens if something happens to my kid, my mom and dad? And I remember Mom, again, so sweetly telling me, she said, son, there's times the devil tries to test me about worrying about you. And you know what? The Lord just sweetly comes in and says, just commit it to me. Just commit them to me. I take care of them. I trust you, Lord, that you'll protect them. And you know what? Then there's peace. There's absolute peace. And you know that simple, simple faith is applicable in every single thing in your life. Lord, I'm just going to trust you to keep it. How about that for everything? Not just, again, your mom or dad or your kids, but your job, or if you don't have a job, or if you have money, or if you don't have any money, or if you have a car, or if you don't have a car. You think He's faithful? Oh, amen, He's faithful. He's always faithful. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's again continue to trust Him. So again, we understand that it's not by power, it's not by might. Praise God, it's by the Spirit. As the Lord told the devil there, He said it wasn't by bread alone. And I'm so thankful it's just by the Word of God. See, we fight with faith. I don't battle with this. I used to think I was so strong at one time. Learned real quick, there's a lot of people stronger than me. But there's nobody stronger than Him. And He fights for me. So you better watch out. How's that, huh? He touches you. He touches the apple of God's eye. That's real stuff. You don't know what you're doing. I shudder for people sometimes. Not because of me. But because I know how God loves me. You don't know what you're doing. You're touching a child of the King. Hair standing back on the back of my neck right now. I know who I am in the Lord. I know how He loves me. can't come up against me. He has to even take the hedge down for you to see me. Boy, we got to get after this, don't we? Oh, Lord, help our unbelief. What a privilege we have to be loved by God. Thank you, Jesus. See, that devil just kind of flees. Hallelujah. See, he can't come up against the Word. Defeats him every time. Oh, he thinks he's coming in here sly. In the name of Jesus, you're gone. You're gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, I'll tell you what, I do like to get a little revenge. And I'm, by the grace of God, I'm really loving this revenge. Because this is the revenge I want to get. This is the revenge of faith. This is what faith does. Praise God. And I'm ready for revenge, Lord, and I can have it now. And we'll get into, God willing, in chapter 11, if the Lord tarry, we'll see that there were these false apostles that this Word was really getting revenge against. They were going out there and trying to destroy. But the Word of God will get it done. But notice, it tells us right here, it says, get this obedience. The obedience needs to be fulfilled in our life. It needs to come to pass. And brothers and sisters, when you talk to most people about obedience, they don't get it. Obedience is faith. Did you know that? Obedience is believing Him. That's what obedience is. See, a lot of people think obedience is, well, I have to do the right thing. I have to live a certain way. No, obedience is believing Him. Obedience is loving Him. I can't do it. You can't do it. Obedience is trusting Him that He will provide that and make that way in me for His will to be done in my life. That's obedience. Praise God. That is it. It's believing Him. Again, so often we think that this obedience is our actions, that it's a work, but it's the heart. Obedience is of the heart. Oh, praise God. And I'm telling you, He's allowed me to fail many times to show me that my thinking of obedience will never get it done. It will never work. It's His grace. His grace. A lot of people, many times over, I said, well, I'm trying. Quit trying. Stop. You're going to ruin it. You got to let it. Yeah. We try to hurry that perfect masterpiece and it doesn't work. It's on His timing. He's going to bring you through and cook you just right. You don't want to undercook it or overcook it. Got all the ingredients, I assure you, you do. He's the master chef, huh? Praise God. All right, so let's trust Him and what He is doing in our lives. And it will defeat the devil every time. All right, now verse 7. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? Oh, that's a question. Look at that. And He's asking you, what are you looking at? I hope we're not looking at each other that way. The Lord tells us in His Word that He looks upon the heart. Because that's where we're going to find sincerity and truth. Did you know that? You're going to find it there. Not going to find it out here. Not going to find it in how somebody's, again, trying to properly live their life. Now again, it does work from the inside out. I believe there will be a testimony as we give ourselves to the Lord. It's very important. But what He's so bringing in here, brothers and sisters, is this apostleship, this calling that He has on His life, that we have in our lives. It's grace. It's a gift. He is the one that validates you. He is the one that commends you. It's not because all men speak well of you, and you better worry when that happens. It's not because you went to so-and-so school and you know Latin or Greek or all these different things. Praise God if you know something, but give it to Him, and then it'll produce something. If it's not committed to the Lord, I'll tell you, it'll be something that could destroy you. Because it gets right in here and you think you're something when you're nothing. You think, well, I know this. I'm educated. We said it earlier. Become a fool that ye may be wise. A lot of this stuff people don't like to hear, do they? But that's not us. Now, know who you are. And say, Lord, have great grace upon me. Allow me not just to put it in my mouth and its honey and spit it out. Let me get it down deep. Yeah. Allow me to live a life of bitter for a while. Need it. Praise God. All right. So, we see that it's not something that's on the outward appearance. In verse 7, it goes on to say, if any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Now this is again so sweet. And do you remember, he had to really go through this back in the 1 Corinthians. Remember when he had to tell them that he was called of the Lord, that he was chosen of the Lord, that the Lord was the one that made him and gave him that apostleship. How quickly they forget again and again and again. And how the Lord again is encouraging this brother to encourage them. The Lord has given me a special dispensation. I've got a revelation here. And the Holy Spirit is reminding you again and again, you need to follow me as I follow Christ. I've got the perfect way. Wake up. Now do you see this message coming out that's going to follow through to Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians? And how important this is, the calling that's out there. I want you, by the grace of God, to really see this. The importance of this time to grasp and treasure the message of Paul. That this is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is the mark that is so clearly marked out for us that we need to pursue with passion that we may attain this by the grace of God. This is the calling of today. Hallelujah. But again, the proof of his authority is for edification. It's not for him to be set up there and to be praised. It wasn't for Paul to be worshipped in any way. Edification, that means building you up. It's to build us up in the things of the Lord. That's apostleship. If somebody's giving you anything but, and they're your minister or teacher, they're not giving you the things of God. This is for you to be built up in Him. This is why Paul knew. He said, you're my testimony. The love of God working in you validates me as an apostle. That you're growing in the Lord validates me as a preacher or a minister. Most importantly, as a pastor. That's it. It's not because I've come in here and I've raised all the cash in the world so you all can have your own homes. Or that we've fed all the hungry? No. It's because the Word of God is building you up. And this is what Paul so preciously is bringing forth. That this is a time to be built up in the things of God. To grow up in Him in all things. And I think about what an understatement this really is. Because Brother Paul was given the gospel of the glory. The gospel of the glory was given to this that could build us right into the midst of the throne. Praise God, there's no greater masterpiece than His bride. That's the message that He brought that could build these people up. Hallelujah. The inheritance that was to come. And as opposed to what He had to say there in the 8th verse where it says, some were thinking this to be destructive. Are there some today that think it's destructive to preach the full counsel of God? Are there some today that think it's destructive to preach doctrine? I would have to say most. They want to stay away from doctrine. They don't want to get too deep into the things of God because it starts to make people feel uncomfortable. Well, praise be to God if it does. He's got to take you out of your comfort zone. He's got to take you out of you to make you what He wants you to be in Him. Finding that out. And yes, it is scary. And it sometimes can be frightful. But praise be to God again. Perfect love casts out all fear. And it does. Lord, I know You perfectly love me. I don't understand this strange trial that I'm going through. But Your perfect love keeps my mind. It keeps my heart. I'm stayed on You, Lord. You've captivated my thoughts. I know this is for my good. I know this is for my eternal good. I know there's nothing greater that You could give me at this time than to press me out of measure. To really be confounded in so many ways. Why are these people treating me like this? Why is my life going this way? Lord, let me trust You. Praise God what He can do. What faith He can build in our lives. But see, this thought of destructive. Brother Paul was correcting abuses. He was convicting to righteousness and holiness. And believe it or not, that builds up a church. Yes, it does. See, you've heard me say this before. It's not a free-for-all to God. It's not. I do not want, by the grace of God, strange fire in this place. You don't want it in here. Again, by His grace, we've stood against those things. Those are the high things. Those are those things that, again, come against the things of God and His knowledge. The compromise that's out there. And it's rampant today. All that compromise, brothers and sisters, may produce a lot of numbers of people in a meeting. But I fail yet to read anywhere in this word where great numbers mean anything of godliness. It's true. And it is true. I read the word of God and He usually used one. A few. Shows His strength that way. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm again so thankful that this is a time of quality that He's seeking. It's not the time of quantity. It's not. He's seeking the true worshiper that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that is not a popular slogan today. It's not. The popular is mega, isn't it? Notice they took the O out of it. It's just mega. It's a shame. Numbers. How many? How big? How many people go to your church? Like I said, I'd love to see throngs of people going after God's best. But you know what the Word of God tells me? That it's just going to be a few. It is. So, don't despair, brothers and sisters. I say count yourself privileged. How about you? Amen. Don't be arrogant about it, though. Oh, no. See, that's where the enemy wants to turn that. Oh, He's called you special. Yes, He has, by grace. Amen. By grace. I see the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. By grace. I see that He's going to have a bride out from among them. And she's separate. And she goes at a different time. Praise God. Boys kind of thought of it that airborne delivery. I don't want to go ground. I'm thankful the Lord sweetly talks to me in a lot of simple ways. Yeah. All real. Thank You, Jesus. Verse 9 and 10. Let's keep it going here. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For His letters, say they, this is again speaking of them talking about Paul, are weighty and powerful. But His bodily presence is weak and His speech contemptible. Now, again, I think about this little pitiful Paul here. He sure caused a big stir, didn't he? This little puny guy that can't see well and probably as ugly as a mite. My goodness. He was the center of attention, though, wasn't he? You see what the Word of God does? You don't have to stir it up. You don't. Just love the Lord. It'll come. It will come. And the neat thing about that, it'll be the perfect trial for you. It'll be that perfect joint suffering. Not something that I have suffered because of something that I've brought on my life. I don't want that. I want His willed sufferings in my life. And that is from a life by the grace of God that just, yields to Him. And you notice here it says, contemptible. That means of no account. That means despised. And again, how Christ-like this sweet brother was. He wasn't winning them with miracles. He wasn't winning them with eloquent speech. He was just bringing forth the truth, the gospel. Be satisfied with Jesus and Him alone. Be satisfied with His word. Brothers and sisters, be satisfied with His word. If it's being brought forth, rejoice in it. Amen. Be thankful. Don't seek, and I mean this, whether it would be me or whoever would be giving out the Word of God, if they're giving out the Word of God, don't want a different vessel. Be thankful with what God's given us. Rejoice in what the Lord has done for us. There was a time in this meeting that people didn't rejoice for that. God forbid we'd be like that. Let's rejoice and be thankful for the different ones that God... You know, I love that too. They're in all shapes and sizes and colors, and it's precious. And they're all under His will, His perfect vessel. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Let's get into that kind of love. Praise the Lord. Now, going on verse 11. Let such a one think this, that, such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will be also indeed when we are present. I'll tell you what, you better watch out. See, the power of God's continuing to come upon this sweet brother, and we walk the walk, and He's telling him the power is coming, and it's coming quick. Praise God that that deed was going to be done, that word that was being spoken in those letters, it was going to be present because the power of the Lord was there. Now verse 12 goes on to say, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. I mean, that just sounded confusing reading it in a lot of ways. Not that the Lord's word is confusing, but those people were just a bunch of mixed up nuts. Walking around, looking at the other guy. Oh, boy, am I glad I'm not like you. Look at me. Now that's not us. I know that, huh? Right? Praise God. But, you know, you think about Israel and their downfall. It's when they started comparing themselves with others, didn't they? They had God for them. Isn't that wonderful? You think about how mighty took them out of Egypt there. Did all those things for them. Started looking at the other guy. Well, you know what we need? We need a king. Well, you got me. No, we need a king, Lord. And yet He was so gracious still. He didn't just evaporate them right then. That's right. And we go there too, and you know it. But see, it's because they were looking at somebody else again. They were looking at what they thought that they needed. And you know what? God gave them a king, didn't He? Oh, yes, He did. And look at the woe that was brought on by that king. Huh? And really, in a sense, all the kings. Now, David was a precious, sweet brother, but tell you what, there wasn't any rest in that kingdom, was there, because of that dear brother. But when we look to others to compare ourselves, when we look to others to justify what we're doing, we're in trouble. Big trouble. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. All right, we're hurrying along. But we will not boast of things without measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Praise be to God again. This was 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going back over to school again on it. Commending self. Hallelujah. Let Christ validate you. Let Him be your validation. You do not need to prove yourself. That's when we get in trouble. How about letting the Lord even speak for you? I don't need to defend myself. I'm learning that more and more. He's my defender. Yes. And He fights perfectly. And you can't fight Him. Praise God. Paul is just so resting in this. And I think about Revelation 21:15. And we don't have a lot of time. You can go there later. But that's speaking of that golden reed that perfectly measures those things in heaven. The things that enter. And this measure, brothers and sisters, it's Christ in me. It's His Word. Hallelujah. That's the measure, is the Word of God. Just as Christ Jesus Himself said, "Not my will, Lord, but Thine." We are His workmanship. We need to understand this, that He gives the increase, that without Him we are nothing, that our boasting by the grace of God better be in the Lord, and our glorying better be in the Lord as well too. And it's sweet to glory in the Lord. I'm finding it to be one of the sweetest things I've ever experienced. I'm telling you, really, this last year especially, I've just been glorying in the Lord. It's His work. This is His work. I am grateful for it. So grateful. And it's perfect. And I know it is. And it's not of me. It's not because of people. It's because of His work in a life. Hallelujah. And it's wonderful to glory in that. And to give God's Son all the glory. Devil can't fight that. Devil can't even come around it. Just kills him every time. It's wonderful what conquering power is in giving Him the glory. Hurrying along here, it says, our aspiration, or this hope that they have, is to abound in hope. And I love this, brothers and sisters, because He's been bringing back this word, enlarged, enlarged. Did you know that means make great? It means make great. And we've been studying that through this Corinthians study many times. And it speaks of the life of the full overcomer. That's the abounding in the Lord. The hope enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Again, this wonderful message of the full overcomer in Christ Jesus. Oh my, what's been brought forth. 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Basically, he's just saying, enrich us, receive and preach the message, glory only in the Lord. It's important. And again, he goes over and over this. We must decrease so He can increase. Get out of the way. I commend you, brothers and sisters, it's happening. And maybe it's been happening, and maybe He's just allowing my eyes to see it more and more. We're increasing in Him. I believe a lot of the pride and the let's be seen and let me show you what I know. Sweet sister so blessed me with a revelation that the Lord just gave her in Scripture that I hadn't seen before. Still His truth, no new truth. Oh no. Truth's the truth, praise God. But just another wonderful type that I hadn't seen before. And we were just rejoicing, and I had to stop, and I said, isn't it wonderful? We don't try to get one-upmanship on each other. We're just entering into that perfect unity of, oh, look at this lover that we have. Hallelujah. He's so wonderful. He says it again and again and again in all these different ways. And it's more beautiful every time. Oh, praise God. And then 17, 18, wrapping this up. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's no other glory but in the Lord. It's the only place you're ever going to get it. Only place you're ever going to have it. You've been trying to glory in something else besides the Lord. I'm going to tell you, it's going to end and you're going to fall flat on your face. It's going to be dead. And you're going to find yourself lower than when you began. And you're going to say, oh Lord, it feels like it took a couple steps backward. Well, you sure did, because you're withdrawing. You want glory. You're going to go forward. And it's going to be found in Him and Him alone. For not he that commendeth himself is approved. Boy, we're in a day and age of that, aren't we? But whom the Lord commendeth. I will say it again. Christ is my validation. How about you? And there's nothing greater. He's it. I've got His name on me. Hallelujah. He's my validation. Brother Paul's saying here, the Lord will prove me a faithful servant and continues to do so. My complete, not part, but my complete confidence is in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Spirit's power by grace to grow me up, to lead me in the perfect will, and having me rejoice and loving His soon appearing. Now, brothers and sisters, I really believe that's complete victory. I believe that this is truly a passage that says, to God be the glory. And if you want to win His best, by His grace, our life needs to sing the song, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. It's His work. The things He has done. Oh, hallelujah. And the things He's doing. So praise the Lord. Aren't you at rest tonight? Aren't you peaceful in this? I hope you are. I hope this just makes you thankful. If you haven't been living it, it should still make you thankful. Because you know that you could just stop trying right now. You can stop that trying. And now you can just let Him do it. Let Him do it. All right, let's stand.